The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Monday, October 25th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. In coastal Brunswick, it's week two of the jury selection process in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Demonstrations continue outside the Glynn County Courthouse. Attorneys and the trial judge questioned potential jurors at one at a time today, the fatal shooting of the 25-year-old black man by three white men dominated local media in the coastal community last year, raising the question of how many jurors actually can be impartial. Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley says he may not seat a final jury of 12 people and four alternates until next week. Half of all Georgia residents are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19. The State Department of Public Health announced the milestone today. Nationally, a little more than 57% of the population is fully vaccinated, according to CDC data. The best performing states have vaccination rates of above 70%. Well, the coronavirus outlook in Georgia continues to improve. Sam Whitehead reports COVID-19 case levels and hospitalizations have steadily declined for nearly 2 months.
The highly contagious Delta variant fueled Georgia's last wave of the pandemic, which peaked in early September. Since that time, the rolling average of newly confirmed COVID-19 cases has fallen at nearly the same rate that it surged, according to state data. It's been the same for hospitalizations. Still, federal data show most Georgia counties have substantial levels of coronavirus transmission. Meanwhile, the state's vaccination rate continues to improve, though slowly. 50% of Georgia residents have completed a vaccination series. It's one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country. Sam Whitehead, WABE News.
Atlanta Braves fans were gathered at Truist Park this afternoon as the team departed for Houston. The Braves and Astros will play Game 1 of the World Series tomorrow night. Emil Moffitt reports.
They wore Braves gear and waved signs and hoped to get a glimpse of their favorite players. For Shelley Wooten, the scene brought back memories of the Braves teams from the 90s.
Oh my goodness, it's so hard not to compare them. I mean, they just spoiled us. I mean, you know, Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox.
But other fans like Tim Favor will be seeing the Braves play for a title for the first time.
23 years old now and I've been watching ever since I was born, so it's definitely a feeling and experience that it's hard to put words into.
The Braves haven't been to the World Series since 1999, but that's not stopping fans such as Walter North from predicting victory.
I think we'll win it in five.
And if they do, the Braves would win it in front of their home fans. Games 3, 4, and 5 are set for Truist Park this weekend. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
And go Braves. Anyone in Georgia can get the dirt in their yards tested for lead for free right now. It's an initiative from health agencies and environmental organizations. Molly Samuel has more details.
The program is coordinated by the same Emory University researcher who found dangerously high levels of lead in the Atlanta neighborhoods of Vine City and English Avenue a few years ago. Georgia residents can send in one or two samples of dirt from their yards to get their soil test through November 15th. Lead is especially dangerous to children and can have long-term health effects. While levels of lead have generally gone down since lead paint and leaded gasoline have been banned, it can still be found in dirt, and kids can accidentally eat it. According to the CDC, there's no safe blood lead level for children. Molly Samuel, WABE News.
Emory professor Cassandra Quave travels the world searching for new medicines from plants. She learns from traditional healers how they use the natural world, then takes plants back to the lab and studies their potential to fight deadly infection. Along that scientific journey, Quave has overcome obstacles. As a child, doctors amputated one of her legs due to a birth defect. Her new memoir, The Plant Hunter, is now out, and WABE's Molly Samuel spoke with her about her life and work.
First, I wanted to ask you about how your experience with medicine as a child, enduring 20 surgeries and almost dying from a staph infection, how has that informed your scientific interests with searching the natural world for new medicines?
I think, well, number one, it definitely instilled a lot of resilience in me. And in the pursuit of science, there's no, I think, tool as important as resilience, because scientists face a lot of failure. And I talk about that candidly in my book. But when it comes to medicine, you know, undergoing so many surgeries and just kind of being immersed in medicine from a young age, I had a deep appreciation for the value of both surgery and pharmacology. But I also had a curiosity for other ways that different cultures look at medicine and kind of where that put me as a young disabled girl. And so during my first trip really to do field research as a rising senior in college, I experienced what medicine was like in the Peruvian Amazon. And from that point onward, it really put me on a different kind of path to better understand traditional systems of medicine and where they may sit in the future of modern medicine.
A lot of your drug discovery work now is focused on antibiotic-resistant infections. Why put your focus there?
I jokingly say that the bacterium Staph aureus is kind of like my nemesis because I almost died of a staph infection at the age of 3. It was a hospital-acquired infection that came after my leg was amputated. And I've dealt with recurrent kind of skin infections just from the irritation of my stump. Being a very active person, this can happen to amputees where you get these kind of recurrent infections. And so for me, in some ways, it's very personal because I've lived through infections in my life, but also from a medicine perspective, this is probably the greatest threat of our time. Everyone right now is, of course, focused on COVID and for good reason. But at the same time, you know, kind of lurking in the background, the antibiotic resistance continues to be a major, major problem. In 2016, it was estimated that there were around 700,000 people that died each year due to untreatable antimicrobial resistant infections. And that number is projected to reach 10 million per year by 2050. We have a real drought when it comes to the discovery of new classes of antibiotics. And that's where I'm really trying to help fill in that gap with our study of plants.
You've had this swashbuckling career in some ways, traveling in the Amazon, you know, packing a gun in Florida swamps in case of alligators, getting to these remote European mountaintops. But you're based here in Atlanta. Are there interesting plants here with healing properties that people may not realize are all around them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, I garden not very well. My husband's the better gardener, but we have a lot of medicinal plants in our garden that use as teas, lots of different herbs from the mint family. But if you're looking into the wild, I mean, here in the Southeast US, there's one plant that's really caught my interest lately, and that's the American beautyberry. And your listeners may actually even have this plant in their landscaping. It's a beautiful landscaping plant, but also found in the wild. It has these gorgeous, deep, vibrant purple fruit along the stem. And this is a plant that's been used traditionally by Southeastern native peoples to help ward off insects as a kind of an insect repellent, but it also had some other kind of skin applications. And so we studied the leaves of this plant and actually isolated a compound that works by restoring the activity of beta-lactam antibiotics against antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And so this is a project that we're still pursuing, but I think it's really exciting. You know, look at the different ways that some of these plant compounds can help us in the fight against these antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And it's something that grows literally in my backyard. So that's really exciting.
Emory Professor Cassandra Quave travels the world searching for new medicines from plants. And she was speaking with WABE's Molly Samuel. Her new book, The Plant Hunter, is currently out. And she's giving a talk tomorrow at Emory. The final giant chunk of an overturned cargo ship has been removed from waters along the Georgia coast. Demolition of the South Korean freighter Golden Ray took almost a full year before the eighth and last segment of the shipwreck floated away today on a barge outfitted with a special harness. The ship capsized after leaving the Port of Brunswick in September of 2019, Work began last November to carve the wreck into 8 pieces using a towering crane that slowly sawed through the ship with a long anchor chain. The final 2 pieces of the ship removed from waters off St. Simon's Island must still be broken down further before they can leave Georgia for a salvage yard in Louisiana. Other cleanup work remains unfinished. That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program. Our editor is Kathleen Quillian. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.